In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the holy new martyrs and confessors of the Russian Church, whose martyrdom began just about 101 years ago with the martyrdom of Metropolitan Vladimir of Kiev. Their icon is over there, but every icon over there is one of them. There were more martyrs under the Bolsheviks than there were under the Romans in the early persecutions, by far. We also celebrate today, or remember today, we read the Gospel of Zacchaeus, the publican in Jericho, whom our Lord visited. Looking at the new martyrs, looking at the countless number of men and women, bishops, priests, everybody from all walk of life who stood up to the godless authorities, to the atheists who demanded that they reject Christ, who stood up and withstood. We also look at the same time at the countless numbers of people in the Russian land who did the opposite, the countless numbers who caved in, who, at the slightest threat of any inconvenience, were willing to give in, as at all times. And we ask ourselves, what makes the difference? If we were there at that time 100 years ago, what would we do? Looking at some of the specific events, we can see parallels in various places of the world today to what was happening there then. There are even some small amounts of parallels in our country now. This kind of thing could happen here in our lifetimes. It is happening in parts of the world. It's very close to happening in other parts of the world. And so we ask ourselves, what makes the difference between those who confess and those who deny? Where would we find ourselves? In the second gospel reading, it said, "Do not premeditate to make a defense, for God will give you what you need to say in that hour." Father Michael Polsky, who was in the camps, rather, he was imprisoned by the Bolsheviks, he recounts how when he was in his cell and when he was in the hallways being led to interrogation, he was weak. He was ready to give in for anything. He was ready. He just wanted to get out of there because he was being tormented so much, and he would do anything just to escape. But once he got into that interrogation room and the interrogator started making demands, God gave him strength, and he didn't give in. He didn't denounce anyone. The strength comes from God. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we know which group, again, we'll be in? The answer, I would posit, lies in the other gospel reading today, the gospel reading of Zacchaeus, which applies to all manner of our life. Let's consider Zacchaeus, who he was. This man was a tax collector for the occupying Roman force. The way this worked was he was basically given the authority to collect taxes from his own people and then pass on the necessary taxes to the Romans. The way he was paid was he was allowed to collect a little more than what he was supposed to, little more than what he was demanded to pass along to the Romans. This was a situation ripe for corruption, and so many of the tax collectors, including Zacchaeus, were in fact corrupt. They collected a lot more than they were supposed to give to the Romans. And they had the power of the Roman army behind them enforcing this. So Zacchaeus was very, very wealthy, and we can be sure that he fell into many of the sins that are common for those who are very wealthy, various pleasures of the flesh, various indulgences, various love of glory. But his main passion, the main thing that afflicted him, must have been love of money. For why else would he have sold out his people? For someone to become basically a traitor to his people, hated by all, in the way that he did, he must have had a passion for money that he could not control. All of us, brothers and sisters, have some sort of passion that is deeply set in us and drives us, and that we cannot control. And all of our other sins, or at least most of them, sprout from that, are rooted in that. And we need to fight it. Let us see what Zacchaeus did. Well, at first he did nothing, right? But then Jesus passed by, and something in Zacchaeus said, "I need to see this man." He probably didn't know what it was at that point. We might not fully call this repentance yet, but he said, "I need to see this man." And he climbed up into a tree so he could see who Jesus was. That's the first step, right? That's like saying, "You know, I need to come to church." It's that first, there's something I need. Well, when he went up into the tree, our Lord passed by, and our Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for I have to go to your house today. And so he came down. And at that point, something more happened inside his soul. His heart was softened. His mind became less dark. And his will was strengthened, because he was able then, when Christ entered his house, to say, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. See what he's doing? He knew that this love of money which he had was consuming him and was leading him to all manner of sin. And when Jesus came into his house, might say when Jesus came into his heart, he was able to see this clearly, and he had the strength to do something about it. And he did. He fought against this passion of love of money by cultivating the opposite, by cultivating love of poverty, in a sense. Better to say non-acquisitiveness, a giving attitude. He restored to those whom he had cheated fourfold to make up for what he had done. And then, on top of that, he gave half his goods to the poor to fight against this love of money. How did our Lord respond? Behold, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation came to the house. Yes, Jesus is salvation. And Jesus came to the house. But more than that, beyond just his physical presence, Zacchaeus was saved because he responded to Jesus coming and set out on the path of salvation. We, brothers and sisters, must do the same. There are things that enslave us, things that lead us to do sinful things. And there's something in each of us that more than anything else enslaves us. And so when that master inside us calls, we don't ever dare to disobey. But when Christ comes, when he enlightens us, when he strengthens us, and we see right now with Jesus present, I have the power to say no to this evil master in me. I have the power to fight against it by doing the opposite, by fighting against pride and selfishness through love, fighting against vainglory through humility, fighting against love of money through non-acquisitiveness, fighting against love of foods and pleasures of the flesh through abstinence. We do that. And Christ says, salvation has come to this house. And what happens then is we see that we need our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite him to stay with us. We need him more than anything. We need him more than we need what that passion offers to us. So now what happens? Now when that time comes, like came to those new martyrs and confessors, when that time comes and we're offered a choice, someone comes and says, deny the Lord Christ, or just compromise in this way that we realize is important. Compromise, and I'll give you this. Or, if you don't compromise, I'll do this to you. Well, if the thing they're offering is connected with that passion, if we have a love for money and they're going to take away our things, then our natural, habitual, immediate response will be to say, okay, I'll do what you say. But if we've come to the point where we realize we need Jesus Christ more than we need that, when we can say with Ignatius of Antioch, I think it was him, I have served Jesus all my life and he's never harmed me. How can I leave him now? We need him more than we need what this passion demands. Then we'll say to those tormentors, no, I can't leave him. I would die without him. And that's what makes the difference. We just heard sung the Kantakian to the new martyrs. Oh, ye new royal passion bearers and pastors. That's the wrong one. That's a Troparian.
No, it's a Kantakian. Oh, ye new passion bearers of Russia.
Who have with your confession finished the course of this earth, receiving boldness through your sufferings, beseech Christ who strengthened you, that we, whenever the hour of trial find us, may receive the gift of courage from God. For ye are a model for us who venerate your struggles. For neither tribulation, prison, nor death could separate you from the love of God. If we have the love of God, then we cannot be separated. That's a quote from the Apostle Paul. So, returning to Zacchaeus, let us cultivate what Zacchaeus did. Let us go up in the tree, which means coming to see Jesus, coming to let him speak to us, reading the scriptures, coming to church. Let us, when he asks to come into our house, let us invite him in. That means, of course, receiving his grace and the holy mystery. So he will come into our hearts. He will come and live in us and strengthen us. And then let us respond and fight against that which afflicts us. And through the prayers of the holy new martyrs and confessors of Russia, may God strengthen us in this battle and lead us forward. Amen.